Hey guys, welcome. I'm Bob. I'm going to preach today. Is that okay? Okay. I do want to thank Jessica, though, for preaching already. And if I didn't know better, I would have thought we had plan some things together, Jessica, because I'm just going to kind of follow up what you started, and I appreciate it very much. One of the things that we do here, and we're trying to do more and more as we study in the adult class about prayer, is pray for each other. And one of the ways we pray for each other, we can, is in these cards. I don't know if all of you know, we have these cards in the back. And see Michelle back there in the back? Look at Michelle. And there's a box back there that you can put these cards in if you want us to pray for that later. And even you don't even have to have a box. You can just hand it to someone who you think might want to pray for you. And you don't even have to have a card. You can just come up to somebody and say, I need you to pray for me. And I'm going to do that often. Today, we're starting something that's going to last a little while. Lord willing. You know, we always say that. And actually, I mean it this round. I hope it happens. We're going to talk about the larger story. Last week, I had the epic 2-hour phone call with my two sons. You know, because these days you can talk with three people on the different phones. You know, one was in Texas, I was driving, and the other one was in New Mexico. We had this 2-hour talk, and we talked about this, what we're going to talk about today, this larger story, and they asked me, why do you call it that? And so I'm going to tell you that now, okay? Larger story. We're starting today something that I envision is going to last 5 months. So, wow, that's a large story. But this is just a little overview of it. The series will emphasize the Bible as the story of God and His people. You know, we look at the Bible for a lot of different things. In some ways, it's a book about instructions, but it's not just about instructions. In some ways, it even sometimes seems like rules, and it's not just about rules. But the best way, I think, to look at it is a story that includes a lot of other stories. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about this as a large story that includes a lot of other stories. And all the other stories point to this large story. And not only that, you're in the story. Now, you might think to yourself, I'm not in the Bible. Well, some of you, you know, actually are. Because like Daniel is in the Bible. Oh, wait, not that Daniel. So maybe none of us were in the Bible, but you know what I'm saying? Our story still is part of God's story. And so we're going to talk about that. And one of the reasons I think this is important is because you've had this experience, maybe, I don't know, I have. If you ever walked in, or another person, this is especially annoying, a person walks into a movie 40 minutes late, and you don't know what's going on. And you see different characters doing different things, and you don't understand really why they're doing that. Like one person walks in the room, and another character in the movie just hates them, is really mean to them, is really upset. And you're wondering, why are they so upset? Why is that happening? Well, it's because you didn't see the first 40 minutes of the movie. And especially that's irritating when you've seen the whole movie, and another person comes in and starts asking you questions, and you want to say, just shut up. You know, you need to go see the rest of this later or whatever. But it's annoying for us too, right? And that's a lot of what the Bible is. Because a lot of times the Bible is hard to understand. And you're looking at this like, what is that? And some of the songs we sing from Bible stuff are hard to understand. Like if you're not into it, you come to this place and they're singing songs about blood. Ooh, you know, like blood of the lamb. Like, what does that even mean? Blood of the lamb. I don't even know what that means. It's nuts. These people are singing about that. Because you didn't hear the whole story, right? So what's the deal about the larger story? We're going to try and put these into context. And what we're going to say is, I'm going to say the larger story has five movements. I'm going to talk about those today. And the movements cover a span of the history of eternity. And you think, whoa, that is a long story. Eternity. And how do you even know what's going on in eternity? You know, what's the deal? You don't know. How can eternity have a history? Okay, so we're going to kind of talk about these terms. This is what I'm talking about. So, how about that timeline? Yeah, thank you, Danny. We're at now, okay? Where are we? We are here now, okay? We're here now. But we know there's a past. We know there's a past. You know, there was things that happened here before you showed up. You know that? And way back, even before creation, God existed, and He's existed forever. So there is an eternity going that way. But there's also eternity in the future. We know, or we trust, that someday Jesus will return, but time is going to keep going for eternity. And so there's this idea of, okay, go back, the history of eternity. Now, I'm going to break it down into the five movements. I've just got you the history of eternity, how that's going to happen. Okay, it's eternity past, eternity future, now, and we're going to break it into these five elements. Creation, these are on your handout, right? Rebellion, rescue, victory, and return. I'm going to come back to those in a minute, and I'll talk to you about those in a minute. But these are the five, and I'm going to kind of overview all five and where they fit on that timeline. So the first is creation. The first movement's creation. And the creation tells the story of God's power, His love, His purpose, and His goodness. And maybe even more than that, but we're going to break it down into those things. You know, this idea of goodness is this idea that He started creating stuff and He said, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. And then the rest of the Bible talks about how God is good. And how He wants us to do good. And this was so much a part of Jeanette's prayer today. That a good God created us and wants us to be good. Because we're created in His image. So there's this idea of goodness. And then there's this idea of power. You know, God spoke and it was. He spoke and then things were created. God is powerful. There's so much about our just the human body that demonstrates God's power. Incredible. I've never had a baby. But I have children. And as I watched my sons grow in their mother's womb, I thought, wow, God is amazing. And then those little guys showed up. And it was like, oh my goodness. And then they started to grow. And then they started to speak and move around and tear stuff up. And I was wondering if I could get them back in. No, because they're done. You can't do that. You can't do that. But God's power, okay? And then God's purpose for Himself and for us. Why are we here? What's our reason to be here? We'll talk about that. And then the idea of love, that God is love and He's created us to love. So that's the first movement. And so I'm going to put it on the timeline. I don't know how far creation went back, so you know this is not to scale. All right. Creation. And these are some of the verses and scriptures we'll talk about here. And maybe we'll get to more than that, maybe we won't do these exact three, but these are places where the creation story is told. The creation story is told all through the Bible. All through the Bible. You know, in John 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and nothing was created without that. And so the creation story is in lots of places. We're going to talk about these. You don't have to write these down, but you could if you just, you know, want to, like, study or something. We're going to move on. The second movement is rebellion. The rebellion started, actually, and we'll read this in the Bible, it started in heaven. And then it poisoned God's good creation. It starts out like this, where there was a war in heaven. That's what Revelation 12 says. There was a war in heaven. And Satan was cast down. And then what we see him shows up, he shows up in the garden. And this is, again, part of Jessica's language today as we did communion. We have chosen to rebel as well. This rebellion is going on. She used that term as if we had planned that, but we didn't. But this is this idea of the second movement will be rebellion. And how did that now poison God's, what He created to be good? And so there it is on the timeline. Check that out. Okay? And then there's another thing about not to scale. I don't know how long Adam and Eve were in the garden together before the serpent showed up, but I know it was just about one chapter in the Bible, so they're close together. Anyway, these scriptures talk about the rebellion, as do many, many others, but we'll talk about Genesis 3 and even beyond Genesis 3, other things leading up to the flood where there was rebellion, and Romans 5, how that the choice to rebel, I love the way Jessica put it, our choice to rebel, you know, through Adam. Now we all have chosen that. We've all done it sometime. And then Revelation 12 is the battle with in heaven. We'll talk about that too. So the next one, God's children rebel, and that resulted in slavery, okay? The idea of slavery, that we're slaves. The Bible talks about our being slaves to sin, and Jesus has come to set us free from that. But God's steadfast love, or you might say unfailing love, God's steadfast love, He never gives up. You've never done anything that's going to separate you from His love. He loves you. It's steadfast. He wouldn't let His human being creation stay slaves. And so He began an eternal plan to rescue them. He began this plan before they even needed rescue. He had a plan. And so the rescue comes and fits after the rebellion starts the rescue. And let me just say this about your notes there that you guys are taking. So see that place where it's got the five things, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? And then there's this space. That's where you can draw your timeline, see? Write it in there. Just draw it in, see? Yeah, what? Draw your timeline. Forgot to tell you that. I didn't know how to do a timeline. I don't know. This is what you do. Draw the timeline. So rescue, we're going to talk about rescue. Where in my Bible, it picks up in Genesis 12 with the call of Abraham. And it says God spoke to Abraham and He asked him to go, and what He's going to do is bless everything through Abraham. Bless all humans through Abraham. And I call that Aslan on the move. Aslan on the move comes from the Narnia stories written by C.S. Lewis. And I use that phrase in my Africa class. Well, I just got back from Africa where I was teaching a college class, an African Christian college. Great students, 14 students from 5 different countries. And I said, Aslan is on the move. And they looked at me like I was. I said, have y'all read any C.S. Lewis books? Like, no. Okay, well, how can you really be Christians? That's wrong. That's wrong. Somebody needs to say, Bob, that's wrong. Thank you, Luke. Lucas has got my back. So, but still, this is Aslan is on the move, and in the Narnia story, Aslan is the lion. He represents Jesus. And in the stories, the Narnia has been taken captured by the white king, the queen, and she's evil and she's frozen everything. But Aslan, the lion, is on the move, and he's coming to rescue his people. So you don't have to read Chronicles of Narnia to get it, but we'll start in Genesis 12. And then there's the Exodus story. It's a rescue story. But not only is the Exodus, and it's the foundational story of the Jews, it's the Exodus story. But beyond that, there is this story of Jesus who's come, and what in John 3:16 says, God sent him, he sent his son into the world to save the world. And so there's this rescue that continues in the life, in the birth and life of Jesus. And so rescue. The fourth movement is going to be victory. It's the victory that God won over the enemy. Now, other people have done stuff like this. I don't have hardly any brand new ideas. I've just kind of stolen them from different kinds of people. And so some people might do the same kind of thing with like four movements or three or two. But for me, I'm going five, and I'm calling them, you know, creation, rebellion. Some people call that the fall. I'm calling it the rebellion for an obvious reason. Jessica and I were on the same page, and so we're calling it rebellion here. And then the next one is rescue, that God has this plan, and it was through the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, that he's going to rescue. Through Abraham, he's going to rescue his people. But then the victory was won, and I'm calling it victory, was won when Jesus showed up. Jesus showed up as a baby, and then he lived this life, and then he died, and he just didn't die a normal death. So I'm saying he died on the cross. That's an important part of his death. He just didn't die a normal death. All of us are going to die, but he died this unique kind of death. And then not only that, he was raised. He was raised from the dead. And in this, God accomplished victory. Okay? And so there you go. Timeline. As we're headed to now. We know that did happen in the past, but we're moving towards now. You know, the whole New Testament was written after the victory. Think about that. Jesus lived, he died, and then the writing of the New Testament happened after it. And so are we. We're after this happened, but we're still living in those days. The victory is still certain. And so these are some scriptures we'll talk about when we get to the victory part of this larger story, okay? And if you guys come again next week, we'll talk some more about these scriptures. You won't even have to write them all down today. Maybe I should have put a handout on the back. I should have done that on the back, right? I'll do that next week. Come next week and you get scriptures for everything. God's victory at the cross was decisive. Like, there's no doubt that Jesus won, that God won, but Satan continues to wage war on God's creation. We know we're in a spiritual battle right now. We're praying against it. This is what Jeanette was praying against, hatred. And why is that happening? Because our enemy still is fighting. And you know this happens a lot in wars. In human wars too. There's the victory, there's the surrender, there's the defeat of an enemy, but still sometimes they just continue to fight after. This happened in the Civil War. It happened in World War II. There was Japanese and Americans killing each other even after the war was over. And this happens often in war. There's fighting going on, and so that's what's happening. That's happening to us now. Satan continues to wage war on God's creation. But one day, Jesus will return. And peace and joy and love. That's it. That's all there's going to be. So here is the return. And again, I don't know when that return is coming to. Not necessarily to scale. It could come. Well, actually, I think for some people, it was supposed to come yesterday. Right? So we missed that one. We missed that bus. But it's going to come, and we don't know when. So on the timeline, it could be real close to 2017 or, you know, maybe a long time from now. We don't know that. But we're going to talk about the return, and we're going to use a lot of these scriptures. This is John 14, Jesus telling his disciples, I'm going to leave you for a little while, but I'm going to go somewhere and prepare a place for you to come. That's what John 14 says. And then all these other scriptures talking about how we're waiting for something to happen. We're waiting. Something is getting ready to happen, and it's going to happen when he returns. So we've got these five movements, and we're going to take one a month. So next month, we're going to start with creation. Jessica, I told you, if you come next week, are you planning to skip next week? That's what I'm... There we go, I know. Okay, well, this is not going to happen until February, see? So you got a lot of time till we get to this. Okay. Should have put it, my bad, I should have been on the back of the handout. Great. You guys are schooling the preacher. Love it. When your church talks back to you. Usually, though, what's good for preachers is for you to say amen and stuff like that. It's not like, hey, can you go back a ways? Didn't get that. Are we ready to go? Okay, let's go. Here's what we're going to do. Great, you're welcome. We're going to do it in this order. So next month, we're going to be talking about creation all month. But, you know, there's a lot of things to talk about in creation. Creation is so important to the larger story. It's like you come into the movie late and you don't realize that, hey, God created everything just by speaking it. And he is that powerful. And so then you kind of understand why people are saying we should pray to God to help us make something happen, because God can make anything happen. But you don't necessarily get that unless you got the idea of creation. Okay, so we can't miss this part, and so we're going to go through month at a time. There'll be some Sundays we take a little journey away from the series, but even when it gets to Thanksgiving and Christmas, days that we sometimes do something special, but the thing is, the rescue is part of December, and it's part of kind of special that God has sent this baby to rescue us. So, you know, it's going to fit in somehow. We'll see how that goes. But here's the question my boys asked me on the phone, on the 2-hour and 4-minute marathon phone conversation. What's the big deal? Why is the larger story so important? Well, I think one thing is, in the larger story, we find our story. We find who we are in this understanding of the larger story. Things that didn't make sense begin to. Sometimes my faith and my church life, and especially the Bible, doesn't seem to help me in my everyday life. How am I doing this thing with the Bible? I'm reading the Bible. I'm praying. I'm trying to pray what I think is prayer. I'm gathering with Christians. But still, I'm not certain what's... Is there more? Here's one of the things. Dad and Mom and I, we watch TV on Monday nights. Dad and Mom watch TV a lot. I'm not so much, but I watch TV with them on Monday nights. And we watch certain shows that we have recorded to watch again. I'm not telling you what they are. I'm fearful of being judged. Do you ever watch something on TV? Like, I hope my friends don't know I'm watching this. We do not watch Big Brother. Okay, yeah. Okay, back to my stories, you know. Now I got this side preaching for me. So here's how Dad and Mom and I watch TV. Mom and I watch the TV show. We watch it. Dad watches it and plays on his phone. Okay, and so what happens
is this. All through the show, he's going to say, What happened? Who did that? What's going on there? Right? He's worse than the guy who came in 40 minutes late. Because he came in on time, but he didn't quit paying attention. And that's us, right? We might have it right in front of us, but if we're not paying attention, we're going to get distracted by stuff. And so we need to focus. And what I'm asking you to do is this, is to kind of dig in here for the next 5 months. Buckle up and ask a friend to come. Now then, sometimes you're not going to be here. And like sometimes I don't show up. And so somebody else preaches. And lucky for me, there is technology that lets me hear what Jeremy preaches or what Danny preaches. Because I don't want to miss out. Because, it's going to be like, I missed 15 minutes of the 1 hour episode. And Dad comes in and says, "What? Now, why is that guy killing them? I don't know." And so understanding the larger story. Now, if you can't come every week, that's okay. And if you don't listen, that's okay too, because we're going to do some really important things every week. Like, here's something really important we're going to do every week. We're going to do just what Jessica talked about this morning. We're going to have communion every Sunday morning. So if you don't come every Sunday morning, that's okay. We're going to do that. We're still going to be doing that when you come back. It's all right. But in the meantime, we're going to be plugging along at the larger story and how these things fit to our life. Because here's what I believe in our larger story. When we find our story, we find our hope, our identity, our purpose, our hope, our joy, and our love. And here's what I want to get to this. Big questions in my life. Who am I? Big question in my life. Who am I? And I know we have an answer for that. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm a disciple of Jesus. These are things. But as we fit those things into the larger story, okay, this identity piece makes more sense and has more meaning and more helpful to us. Same with the idea about purpose. Why am I here? And I think I have a reason to be here, but maybe it's specific, it's general. I've come here to love other people. I've come here to make disciples. But, Jessica's in a different place than I am. And for sure, Emily is in a different place than I am. And for sure, Rachel, because she watches Big Brother. See? Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't want to be judged, but then I turned out to be a judge. I'm sorry. Confessing my judgment on that. But why are we here uniquely in this place at this time? Why is the now on the timeline now for you? What's your purpose? And I think we can get to that a little bit. Here's another one. Hope. I think understanding and the larger story helps us answer this question: how can I face and deal with the trouble? There's trouble in our world. There's trouble in my life. I need hope. And so getting into and understanding the larger story is going to help me answer this question: how can I deal with the trouble? The trouble's not going away. And one of the examples I'm going to use this morning, you, Betty. I mean, you got RLS. Restless leg syndrome is, it's from hell. It is. It doesn't go away. It doesn't look like there's anything wrong with you, You're not wearing a cast, You're not taking chemo, there's, but it's there all the time. How can I deal with the trouble? And that, there's so much other trouble. There's trouble in relationships. There's brokenness. There's trouble in our psyche. How can I deal with the trouble? I believe understanding the larger story is going to help us deal with that question. How can I face the trouble? And then joy. One thing all human beings share in common is a craving to be happy. I want to be happy. I want to be happy right now. A lot of our worst choices we've ever made in our lives is because we wanted to be happy and we want to be happy right now. Some of the worst decisions and some of the rebellion we've made is because I want to be happy and I want to be happy right now. And so how can I deal with that? What is that? Is that God seemed to make me that way? I believe He did. And so how do I deal with that? The craving to be happy. And finally, and maybe most deeply, I want to be loved and I want to love. I want someone to love me and I want to love someone. And I'm not just talking about in a marriage, but in life. We were created to be loved and we were created to love. How does understanding the larger story help that? I think it will. So this is kind of where we're headed. We're gonna sing an old hymn, Blessed Assurance. And we're going to sing, as we sing that song, it kind of focuses on what's happening, what's going on next in life, that return part. But it's also about everyday life. It's about living with the assurance that God is with us now. He's with us right now. His presence is real. And we're going to sing that. And then I'm going to ask you for some participation in the larger story series. So after that, just go ahead and have a seat after we finish this song, and then I'll tell you how I want you to participate. But for now, let's stand up, and we're going to sing this old hymn.